NWFL Grand Final week over and done with. And to tell us what happened, Kim Wiles, hello.
Yeah, good morning, Darren.
It's been, to say the most unusual season ever, would be a gross understatement, I reckon.
Yeah, very much so, and let's hope that next year we get back to some normality.
Indeed. All right, so we'll start off with Friday night's Under-18 Grand Final. Burnie beating Devonport, close game.
It was, and held at Dial Park on Friday evening. Burnie was successful over Devonport by 2 points after losing to the Magpies in all matches played between the pair this year. Better players for the Dockers were Sam Neesey, Luca Whitcomb and Jonty Watkins, while for the Magpies, Oliver Kelly, Jack Bradshaw and Fletcher Kelly were all prominent. But all in all, a great game, closely fought out, but Burnie won the game that mattered.
Yep, and good weather for it Friday night too. Looked they might get a shower or two, but I think it generally stayed fine. All right, so well done to Burnie winning the Under-18s. Let's go to the reserves on Saturday. That was at Ulverston. And Wynyard winning that one over Penguin.
They were, and Wynyard triumphed over a lacklustre Penguin, winning by 31 points. And in doing so, won the second consecutive reserves premiership. Best players for the Cats were Sam Gleeson, who took out the Alan Broomhall medal as best of field, and former Circular Head Giants players Mark Kearns and Callum House. The two Blues were best served by Jake DeGroote, Fraser Eaton, and former Circular Head Giants senior coach Jared Watling. The two Blues finished on top of the ladder after the regular season, but the Cats won the one that mattered. So, well done there to Wynyard.
Yep, indeed. And the Seniors Grand Final, Saturday at La Trobe, and the old rivals Burnie and Devonport.
It was, and the Burnie Dockers status as a NWFL powerhouse was confirmed for posterity when they defeated the gallant Devonport to claim their third consecutive premiership. Devonport elected to kick with a strong breeze in the first term, but only led by 9 points at quarter time. Then the Dockers went into overdrive, posting 5-4 to Devonport's single goal to lead by 19 points at the major break. The Magpies won the third term, aided by the breeze, but could only reduce the halftime deficit by 5 points and trailed Burnie by 14 points at the last change. And then a further 3-8 by the Dockers to Devonport's solitary behind in the final term saw Burnie home by 39 points to cap off a fine performance and, as you said, in one of the most trying years in Northwest football history. Burnie were devoid of passengers in a real team effort, with retiring veteran Cade Munday receiving plaudits as best of field, and in doing so won the Wayne Wing medal for his efforts. Other Dockers to shine were Dylan Smith, Rudy Barrett, Bailey Bogue and Nick Walters, all part of their much vaunted midfield, while key forward Nick McKenna and Braden Hayes were also prominent.
Right.
For the Magpies, we'll look at them. Devonport coach Kurt Byard, well, he would have been disappointed with the final scoreline, Darren, but he'll take some consolation from the fact that the Magpie under-18s played off in the grand final and the reserves reached the prelim. Liam Williams was adjudged Devonport's best player, along with key forward Joe Chaplin, Ben Blacklow, Brad Simmons and Kurt Mason. Just on that, we have something there. Ah, yes. Given the rain leading up to the grand final and the mystery prospector who dug potholes in the La Trobe Oval a couple of days prior to the grand final, the La Trobe committee and volunteers led by President Greg Donald are all to be congratulated for ensuring that the crowd, the ground was in top notch condition for the game and that all required COVID restrictions were fully adhered to. So take a bow, La Trobe Football Club.
Indeed, and well done to the Dockers three-peat. And might I say, well done to all of the clubs, you know, the committees. You know, it's been, as we mentioned, a very unusual season, like nothing we've seen before. They've had to contend with, A, getting a season up and running, whether they play or whether they don't. And then when it happens, crowd restrictions and all of that. So I think we've all done pretty well.
Yeah, look, at the end of the day, that's what mattered, and at least we got a season in, which you know, was more than a lot of other clubs and leagues were, you know, never achieved.
Yeah. All right, so now no awards night this year for obvious reasons. So what I guess you and the committee will have a meeting shortly and sort of have a look and see what happened and what didn't happen. Yeah?
Yeah, just on that, there will be a best and fairest count held next Friday at the Penguin Football Club commencing, okay. I think, around about 7:30. We won't be having the illustrious Darryl Bulldog medal due to the past season, but we will have a best and fairest at senior, reserves, under-18s, and, of course, women's level. So,
good.
That should be a great night.
Very good. Oh, that's a great way to finish off the season completely. And all things going according to plan, I guess we look forward to next season, which will start, what, late March-ish?
Yeah, that's probably about then, crossing the fingers. But, again, on behalf of the NWFL executive and board, Darren, thank you very much to 7AD and affiliates for your time each Friday. And as you've already mentioned, I hope that we continue next season in an unaffected COVID year.
Yeah, well, look, thank you for your reports every week. You're gold to us because you've got your finger on the pulse. You know what's happening more than any of us do. So that's terrific. We really appreciate it. And we'll talk again soon.
Hopefully so, Darren. Well done, mate.
All right. See ya. There's Kim.
Cheers.